Carrie Wood, we promised you this, and now you got it.
Yeah. Love it.
Welcome to the jungle.
Awesome.
There you go. Hey, before we get to the Cubs, who are starting their 2016 campaign coming up in just a few hours, you're out there today talking about this pretty cool, the Battle of the Bats second annual event. Explain what that is.
Battle of Bats. It's my foundation, the Woodfemme Foundation, and Cubs Charities have teamed up, and I just kind of came up with this home run derby. And so it's a home run derby. You get out in Wrigley Field and get you a group together, or you can do it individually. There's fundraising opportunities online to be able to do that. But just a chance to get out there on Wrigley Field and take some batting practice, and then have a home run derby with your buddies. And there's 40 spots left, and it's just a great time. D Lee's coming out this year. I got Ted Lilly coming, and still working on a few other guys. So. Now, just an excuse to get out on Wrigley and take some hacks.
How cool is that?
Yeah, but I mean, like for amateurs, how isn't that hard to hit a home run at Wrigley Field?
Well, we bring the fence in a little bit. We don't actually bring the wall in. We put a little smaller fence in there. But there was guys that were definitely going in the bleachers last year for sure. It's a pitching machine the first few rounds, and so it's right down the middle and aluminum bats, and guys they take it seriously and they practiced and got ready for it, but the last round I threw the championship round to him, and so the two guys that went for the title got to hit off me at the in the last round.
Oh yeah, where the ball whistles when it goes by you.
That's, like, whoa, where'd that go?
You hate that sound. They're nothing worse than that.
Can you imagine though getting to like hit off Carrie Wood? Carrie, what about the? You're asking your teams to raise some money too for good cause. Talk about that.
Yeah, Cubs.com/derby. You can go online to register and create a team and fundraise. And the Cubs have actually put this website together. And they've done a great job with it. It's really self-explanatory. You get on there and you can see exactly how to create your team and how to fundraise and how to get together and make it kind of a team building experience. So we had a great group of guys out last year, guys and gals, and great team. So an individual won it last year that fundraised for himself, got enough funds raised and was able to get out there, and he was putting some stuff on the street out there. So guys had a blast, and again, great causes. It's for Cubs Charities and the Woodfemme Foundation and helping the underserved kids in our neighborhoods.
You ever have a woman hit a home run? Part of the
we had some hacks last year. We didn't actually have a female get one over the fence, but we had a couple of really good. We had our females were line drive hitters last year.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. We got to get them to lift and separate.
So would I. Yeah, lift and separate. Well, all right. Now, you also get the jerseys, you get the caps, you get the pants, and an opportunity to warm up in the field and then shower in the clubhouse.
Oh,
now,
I'm not sure I'd want that part.
I mean, I don't know. I think that's
say with me on there, does it?
No, it does not say
not,
with you.
It does not promise that.
No, but I would linger. I would linger in the shower. This year, they've got the new, is it 30,000 square feet or something, the new clubhouse for the team. Now, I want your thought on this, because I saw Joe Maddon quoted talking about this today, that he thinks that this is really, really, really an important psychological differential for the Cubs, because for all these years, these many years, going back to Hack Wilson, they've been basically playing, you know, out on a beautiful field, but going back into a pretty crappy clubhouse.
Dungeon.
Yeah, dungeon. Yeah. So what does this mean?
It's nicer. I mean, the guys, they have more men. They have things they need. It's just things are easier. Things are more convenient. Things are set up better. It's the way it is around the league, the way it is in every other stadium. And quite honestly, I think it's been a long time coming. So I really am surprised the MLB has allowed some of the stuff for as long as they've allowed it in some of the clubhouses. But for the most part, they've all been cleaned up. And Wrigley, it's huge for the players to know. I mean, you've got, obviously, winning helps, getting free agents in here. Paychecks always help. Money always helps get guys in here. But amenities and winning are huge. And those were the two things, I think, that kept the Cubs from being able to go get free agents for so many years, is that we played, well, actually three games. We played so many day games. We haven't won in over 100 years, and the amenities were horrible inside the clubhouse. So it looks like all of those things are changing, and you're seeing the free agents come here and want to be here.
Kevin Powell stepped in to ask a question.
Carrie, today and tomorrow, Joe Maddon will have the DH at his disposal as they play the Angels in the American League. That gives Joe Maddon a whole bunch of options with where he's putting guys defensively and how he's tinkering with his lineup. What are your thoughts on the DH? Would you like to see it be implemented into the NL as well?
You know, forever I was always a no guy on that, and I'm not saying I'm a yes guy anymore. I still like the pitcher hitting. I still think that's baseball. I think that's the game we all grew up playing. Until you get to the big leagues, the pitcher's hit. I think it's just Yeah, it's part of the game for me. So I liked it. I enjoyed hitting. I enjoyed running the bases. I understand the part of it. You don't want your pitchers out. I get it. I get both sides of it. But it just seems like it's real baseball to me. But, you know, for the most part of my career, that's all I knew.
Yeah. And well, then when you moved over to the American League, was it different for you there?
You know, I wasn't starting. So I was already in the pen. So the hitting was already gone. But at that point, I was not part of the equation.
Yeah.
But, you know, games are definitely longer. That's one of the first things I called my buddies back over with the Cubs. I'm like, my God, I'm closing games, but I'm not closing the game till like 11:45 or midnight. These games are taking forever.
Right.
So that, I mean, that does play, it plays into it for sure.
Hey, you guys have any slots still over there? Because I can really use it. I got kind of tired now. Hey, let's talk about day baseball, because now, you know, as you're pointing out, the city over these number of years and the neighborhood has gotten a little more used to this, and obviously there's more corporate concern in the neighborhoods that wants to see night baseball because it's better for their businesses and all that. But, you know, it's always been an issue for NIMBY issue for the incredible residential neighborhood. Very few other stadiums reside in a place with so many people are trying to go to sleep at night. But
right.
As you're mentioning, it seems like that's lessening and lessening and lessening. How big of an impact was that? I mean, do you think that really had to do with this incredible drought of championship here?
I just think over the long season of playing that many games in the sun, more games than the other teams, it definitely plays a factor. It definitely plays a role. I don't know if that's the reason. I don't think there's any one reason, but I think that plays a role, especially for your position players that are out there on a daily day-to-day basis and doing that daily grind. So as we see more night games, I think, you know, obviously we're putting up more W's these last couple of years here, and this obviously hopefully coming this coming year, but I think there's a correlation there for sure, but you know, I think that's it's part of the tradition. You love the day games. I love the day games, mm-hmm. but if I was a pitcher, I'd have to play every day.
Kerry, I want to ask you about the pressure on this team. I mean, they're being called the best team in baseball. You just saw an article in the Wall Street Journal today that said if real life mirrors fantasy, the Cubs will win the World Series. They're talking about how fantasy baseball players are betting on the Cubs and the Cubs players more overwhelmingly than other players out there. And now you've seen like all of the players being asked during spring training over and over and over about the high expectations placed on each and every one of them. It's probably got to get old. How are they managing this pressure? You've been a player. You know what it's like to be hearing this stuff, to be pounded with these questions and the expectations set as they are.
Yeah, I think it's a warm-up. I think it's good for them. They're going to have to deal with it most of the year, and especially if we get deep into the postseason like we all expect to, they're going to be dealing with it even more intensely. I mean, I think it's going to come with the territory. It's a wonderful story. The Cubs get a chance to win the World Series. It's been in movies. It's been talked about for over 100 years. I mean, this is as good a team as we've had and as good a chance as this organization has had to ever win in the last 108 years to go out and do it. So there's excitement, and the players and the organization, everybody understands that. And these guys are hungry, and they're going to go get it. And I don't think the pressure is going to get to them. And I think they're too young to have that pressure get to them. But they're going to have to handle it all year. So I think they've figured out a way to stay positive with it.
Well, I did it last year.
Right. But I also do wonder, because there is so, you know, you know how Chicago sports fans can be, and specifically Cubs fans. And I think that because Cubs dominate the baseball landscape here in terms of fandom, and also there's just a little bit of spillover from the century plus of disappointment here.
There was a T-shirt that said "One Before I Die." That you just
right,
kept seeing the media
exactly,
cover and getting shots of it.
I mean, there's a certain cynicism that comes with being a Chicago sports fan as a result of being a Cubs fan. But if they start off slow, and again, you know, you have this problem. We've talked about this before, and players around the league talk about this. It's tough to play in the upper Midwest outdoors in this time in April. It just is, and especially in Chicago with that wind turns off the lake. It starts blowing in, and it's cold, and it's tough on the pitchers, it's tough on the hitters. It becomes a difficult situation. If the Cubs don't come out hot out of the gate here, is there a concern, do you think, amongst should there be concern in the clubhouse when people start to turn on them and go, oh, I knew it?
Mm-hmm.
No, because listen here, you're in the toughest division in baseball. You've got Pittsburgh is going to play in crappy weather for the first month and a half, 2 months too. St. Louis is doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We get a little more lake effect stuff, but for the most part, we're all playing in cold, crappy weather for the first month and a half. If we can all be, after the first month and a half, around 500 or even better, then you think you're in a great spot. It's a super long season. And listen, after tonight, someone's going to be battling to get out of the cellar, and someone's going to be trying to hold on to first place.
That's very true, right?
That is grind starts.
That is right. It is, and it is kind of a grind. And you know, you hear these guys talk about it. And I think that's fascinating. That because you know, as a kid, like I mean, for you, you grew up dreaming of playing baseball, and you did. And for the rest of us who you know grew up dreaming of it and didn't, you know, you just imagine the romance of being on the road and all that. But it really is, you know, as adults and as professionals, it takes a toll, doesn't it?
It does, but hey, don't get me wrong. It's every minute of it is the time of your life. As much as we all complained about the travel, we loved it. As much as we all complained about airplane food, we loved it. You know, it was on a private team flight. I don't care what it tastes like. It's on a team flight, and I'm in the big league. So we loved every minute of it. At the end of the season, it's a grind. When you don't win, you don't come out on top at the end. It becomes long. It becomes that grind of a season. But we all love doing it, and these guys are no different. And everybody talks about the grind, but it's a grind that these guys all love being in.
And Kerry, what was opening day like for you? What did it mean to you? Did you have any traditions that you did every year?
No, it's great. It's the hoopla. It's everybody's got the buntings out, the national anthem saver. They announce both sides and all the teams and personnel come out. But after that first half inning, where you've done your job and you get through that next half, everybody gets one at bat in. It's just game on. The season started, and we're trying to win a ball game. The hoopla and all this stuff for the last 6 weeks in spring training, guys have been itching to get out there. You got another, it seems like the game starts, you suit up, and you got another 30 minutes of introductions and all the hoopla of excitement of opening day. That first pitch is thrown, and then it's let's go win a ball game. But it's definitely fun.
Now, you know, one thing, I want to go back to the locker room here for a second because it's just fascinated by the story. This locker room is said to be second only to the New York Yankees locker room.
Wow. That
now,
says something.
When you went to the New York Yankees, explain a little bit about what they're the opposite tradition, yes? Than the Chicago Cubs. Would you acknowledge
that? It's expected. Right?
It's a complete inverted kind of situation. I mean, how much was that like walking into that storied stadium and that? Now you played in the old stadium, right? I don't think you were obviously. So this was not. This is their new clubhouse. But still, the amenities were better there, I would imagine.
The new stadium was unbelievable. The old stadium was time. It was time. The clubhouses were running down, but the new stadium is just it's off the charts. You can't even begin to explain to people what's inside of that thing. So if the Cubs are close second to that, then these guys are going to have everything they need and then some. And it's amazing. It's hard to explain. There's just endless. It's from like foul pole to home plate, all the way underneath the stands. It's just. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's big here. And I think the fan experience, too, they're talking about what it's going to be like for fans at Wrigley Field this year. They're adding more concessions, different concessions. They really have beefed up, pardon the expression, all the stuff that's happening out in the bleachers, too, because they want that to be not just a bum experience. I think they eventually want a lot more revenue coming out of the bleachers in terms of ticket prices and stuff like that to make the experience a little bit different. So that's going to
From top to bottom, Tom started. He put a lot of his own money, a lot of money into this, in making the stadium better for the fans, and making the product on the field better for the fans. And he's a fan himself, so
clearly.
And now I'm a huge fan of his. So it's fun to be a North Sider nowadays.
All right, Kerry Wood. Thanks again. And by the way, if you want to take part in Battle of the Bats, Battle of the Bats, the second annual Battle of the Bats, where you get to actually take batting practice at Wrigley Field. You get a hat, you get a jersey, you get pants. You get out there, and if you go far enough, you actually have to hit against Kerry Wood.
Wow!
And you get to take a shower in the new locker room too. Wow! I mean, this just doesn't get any better than this. Go to woodfamilyfoundation.org, right, or cubs.com. They've got all of the different.
All of the info is on there, for sure.
Thanks very much, Kerry.
Awesome. Thanks, Kerry.
Thanks, Cubbies.
All right. Kerry Wood.
He's so cool.
Be with us every week talking about the Cubs. I don't know. There's a lot going on here in my brain when it comes to thinking about the Chicago Cubs. I'm not even thinking about national championship tonight. What do I care? Did I go to Villanova? No.
Yeah, that's taken a back seat, I think, today for a lot of people, especially with all the hype with the Cubs. But as you guys said, on paper, there is not a better team in all of baseball than the Cubs. So it's sort of, how can they possibly screw this one up?
Well, wasn't that the case in 2004, too?
Yeah, a lot of expectations going into that season as well. But, I mean, this season, you look up and down the roster and you can't find a glaring weakness anywhere, whether it be maybe the back end of the rotation, but then if there's some issues there, they have,
every team has that.
Yeah, they can just trade somebody because they have a surplus of positional talent anyways that Joe Maddon is going to have to get creative to get all these guys on the field. But they are stacked. And then the White Sox are going to have some headlines this summer as well, too. So
oh, yeah,
it's going to be a fun summer here.
I believe there will be an arrest in the clubhouse before
oh,
this is all
stop
over.
It. I mean,
you know, sometimes you get an arrest like on the base path. I've seen that happen a couple of times at the cell. But this could be a real this could be a real something.
Right, and especially if they do tank early, everyone's just going to point to Drake LaRoche, their 14-year-old team leader that is no longer in the clubhouse.
To see that.
Yeah. Well, they when you look at the White Sox roster, it's pretty good.
Some big upgrades. Todd Frazier at third base is really going to help and gives Jose Abreu some protection in the middle of the lineup. But tomorrow, I'll also be at U.S. Cellular Field, who also made some major upgrades this offseason. Huge video boards there and new food. So I'm going to go there tomorrow.
Their food was always better. Their fan experience has been better at the Cell for more than a decade now.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cubs are really going to have to. I'm glad there's competition because the Cubs have to, because they lose younger fans to that.
Right.
Because the experience for a kid at the Cell has been so much better than it is at Wrigley Field.
Definitely ahead of Wrigley. And the White Sox, the thing with them, every year they've done minor little upgrades that have continued to add up to a greater feel at the stadium, where the Cubs obviously fell behind and now they have this major overhaul.
Right. If you're a 10-year-old kid, you go to the Cell, there's all kinds of games to play. Plus, you're going to be sitting next to a guy in the stands who's acting like a 10-year-old kid or dressing like a 10-year-old kid.
See, I think as bringing a child to that is a better experience because it doesn't feel as corporate. It doesn't feel like it's all adults. There are a lot of kids out there.
There's bankers talking about whether or not these Panama papers are going to affect them. And you're sitting next to a 10-year-old who's like,
Can I
get one of those ice creams? I want one of those ice creams. And they're like, shut up, kid. I think I'm on this list. My bankers and all my money in Switzerland's about to be revealed.
Right. And then they're talking loudly on their cell phones.
Yes, exactly. Not paying any attention to the game.